thank you very much. Well, last year I visited Gary Eckhart to have an introduction to his new modular system. I guess most of you have an idea about the modular system of Gary Eckhart. So, well, it's from the mathematical point of view, there is nothing new exactly in this modular system, but it's organized so to be more general module to accept any EM data, for example, and any dimension. So what I will talk today about the modular itself, the structure of this modular, and I will talk a little bit about the modeling module inside this modular system. So first of all, let us take a look on the modular system structure itself. As you see here, it contains a bunch of modules, and each module accomplishes some mathematical computation. Don't bother yourself by looking on the connection between these modules. I highlighted the most important connection with the white arrows, and according to their generic form, we can divide the modules in three levels: the high level, the intermediate level, and the lower level. The meaning here that the high level should not know any information about the dimensionality, for example, we are dealing with, and also has no information about the application we are going to use. The second level, or the intermediate level, is an interface between the lower level, where we are doing the computation in this level, the most computation, where we specify, for example, the dimensionality, and the higher level. So it converts or try to hide all of this information from the higher level. So here we can specify, for example, in this module, I will go through the some of these modules in details. But for example, in this module, we define the application. Is it an entity, it's a control source, or something else? And in the lower level, we define the dimensionality through the model parameter, for example, and the grid. Here we define our dimension, and we solve the forward modeling and send it to the intermediate level. And in the higher level, we will achieve the inversion. Okay, so let us take a look first.
Sorry.
Let us first take a look on the first module, which will represent the input of our data. And it's the data space, as in any notation, defined as D, B data space. And we know that the MTE, the EM data, are multivariant. So we can represent, for example, the EM data in just two components. Let us take a simple case, 2D, for example, 2D MTE, TE or EM mode, we can represent the impedance with two components, real and imaginary part of the impedance. And so on, for example, 3D MTE data, they can represent it. If we require, for example, the full impedance, we can represent it by 8 components plus the vertical magnetic field, 12 components. for the real part and for the 6 for the real part and for 6 for the imaginary part. So, starting from this idea, we can index this data by using just three attributes: data type, transmitter, receiver. Okay. So in context of MTE, we don't have transmitter, but we will deal with the frequency as transmitter, because we are going to solve the forward problem, for example, for multi-transmitter. So why we use transmitter here? Because in case of control source, we have to solve for different source locations, the whole forward problem. As I said, in 3D MTE, we can define the data type, which the period we are going to use. The receiver is the site location. That's an empty case. That's the input. So in the opposite corner, there will be the output, the model parameter after the inversion. After each, for example, model update or something, we will get the output, the model parameter. Here, the model parameter is will contain information about the parameterization, and it's private declared, so none of this module can change anything in this module, except if we call it indirectly. For example, from the inversion module, I will talk about that after tomorrow, can access this module and update the model, for example. So the system can work with any model parameterization. So it doesn't matter if we replace this module with any parameterization, the whole system should work without any problem. 2D, 3D, or even if we want to use parameterization for the forward modeling and inversion. So as I mentioned, like here we will define the numerical discretization, and the most important module here is the grid. That it contains, in simple case, by using the finite differences, where we have structure of the grid, it contains information about the model, the discretization, like spacing between cells and the dimension itself. Okay. Now, in the lower level, we have the EM field module. It contains the solution from the forward model. Okay. So in case of 3D empty, we have an electric field, okay, defined, I will talk about that later, defined on edges of the cells. In this case, in 3D, it's a field, but in 2D, we have to deal with scalar field, so it will be more simple. The structure inside the EM field will be more simple to deal with. We are talking about the session today is about the forward solver. So I will talk in details about this module here. So it considered as the core of the inversion. So an inversion scheme requires the forward model. Inside this module, we are going to solve the Maxwell equation for the electric field defined on x. Also it contains the solver itself. So the equation is KPX, presented by Mackey and Newman, what we are going to solve here. Here we are going to use the quasi-minimum residuum solver with incomplete LO decomposition. So the idea is from the whole modular system, as I said, it should be as general as possible. So, because we are going to deal with different sources, for example, in control source, or even in the empty, when we are going to compute the Jacobi matrix, as we know, we have to solve the pseudo forward model, which involves the same equation system, but with different right-hand side. In 3D empty, the modular system used the 2D result from Reebok, but some modification had been added to fit inside the system, and also because it had been written in Fortran 77, and the modular idea should be written in Fortran 90 and 95, so some modification on this routine to calculate the boundary conditions. The 3D code had been written by Gary from scratch. Good. This equation you have been seeing it several times. I will present it in its differential form, the Maxwell equation with time dependency, with its time dependency. So in case we are going to solve the first equation, we will refer the electric field as Brillouin field defined on edges of the cells. And the B field will be the secondary one defined on faces of each cell. And solve the magnetic field, it should be, or it will be defined on the edges, and the secondary field will be the electric field defined on faces. Good, there is nothing new, as I said. First, we discretize the model space in a small cubic, and some rules should be met, as Mackey and Newman said, in order to ensure accuracy in the finite differences approximation. We fall here in mine category according to the coordinate system. Okay. And we are going to solve the first Maxwell equation here, defining the electric field on edges of the cells. So the second step is to parameterize the model space. So in this case, each cell or each cube will take independent conductivity or low conductivity. And when we are going to solve the Maxwell equation, it's on edges, so we have to average the conductivity surrounding this edge by using this simple expression. So in case of linear conductivity, we'll use the W matrix, which contains information about averaging, to average the four cells surrounding on this edge. In case of low conductivity, we have to use this expression. The use or the benefit of this two expression, we'll see it after tomorrow when we are going to compute the Jacobi matrix. Good. So after applying the finite differences equation, we'll get the fundamental equation system, S or E or any coefficient matrix. In this case, S in our general modules, S could be the differential operator coming from the Maxwell equation. It could be also differential operator coming from, for example, for DC to electric from Boltzmann equation. And it contains information about the coupling between the edges within the model system. And E, the solution what we are looking for after solving this equation, it could be, in, for example, in 2D TE case, the electric field. And in a 3D, what we are solving is also the electric field. In DC, for example, it should be the potential. Now, on the right-hand side is the source location. In case of control source, for example, the location of each transmitter, and in DC, for example, the location for each current electrode. In NT case, it includes the boundary conditions. So, in general, we can write the S matrix in the following form. So, we can rewrite it by using the three matrix A0, A1, A2. What's the meaning of this three matrix? For example, in our case, or in the first Maxwell equation, in its differential form, S has the following form. So A0 will represent the differential operator, A1 will be a unity matrix, and A2 will contain information about the time term or frequency term in S matrix. And B, as a function from the model parameter, will define the conductivity on X or low conductivity on X. It's the averaging matrix again, as we mentioned in the discretization slide. kill or it could paralyze any problem. The problem is that we are, when we deal with Fortran, there is a conflict between types defined in message passing interface to parallelize and the Fortran derived data type. Well, as I mentioned, I parallelized right now over radios or transmitter, okay? And I will just show you the concept of parallelization. It's very easy, it's nothing special, but let us take a look. If we have a bunch of periods, let us say, and as we know, each solution from this period, it's independent from the previous one, except if we are going to use the conjugate gradient, for example, and use the previous solution as a start solution for the next conjugate for the next period. But here, I assume that the period or the solution for each period independent from the previous one. So if we have number of periods, first of all, we can divide our nodes to master node, which will organize or coordinate the work between the other nodes, and some worker or some nodes, they will achieve the actual work. So the master will send information to each node to achieve the computation, and will receive just the solution. It will not, it doesn't do anything of the computation, just sending and receiving and restructure the whole solutions. So in this case, what we are going to do is to solve the forward problem. So we have a subroutine called FW predicted, which will generate a predicted data. So the first node will take the period, call this subroutine, generate a local data, predicted data, and send it back to the server, to the master, and so on for whole periods. So this scheme doesn't matter if you have 10 periods and two nodes, or it works with any number of periods, with any numbers of nodes in the cluster. And as I said, when they finish, they will send back the solution, and the master will restructure it in the global D data vector or the predicted data, and optionally electric solution required after that for the sensitivity computation. Yeah, that's all. Thank you very much. I have just a few comments on this equation system. As we know, it's the most the most computation time required for to solve this equation system in the forward model. So I'm trying right now to use some properties of this matrix. As we know, let us take the simple case, 2D for example. It has its sparsing matrix. If we divide, if we multiply it here with the, in 2D case, if we will average it over the surface of each cell, and in this case it's symmetric. So, and it contains 5 diagonals. In 2D case, it's simple to describe it. And the main diagonal contains the time information or the frequency information. And on each, for each frequency, only the main diagonal will change. Okay, because it's a complex matrix, we can separate the real part from the imaginary part and see how can we deal with this new equation system. I'm trying to do that, but some mathematical formulation are not quite clear for me, so I'm just trying to solve it in efficient way.
Can you just, sorry, do one thing, just commenting. We want to cover slides. This business about Fortran and MPI, I didn't understand.
Which ones? Which slide?
Where you're talking about the incompatibility between Fortran data type and MPI.
Yeah.
What do you mean by that?
Yeah, because. Yeah, that's good. Because in Fortran derived data type, you can include any information in derived data type and send it between the subroutines as a whole unit. Okay? So there is no problem. to write in the argument of the subroutine. For example, let us take the simple data structure or data type, the grid. It contains all information about the grid. So you can write in the argument grid, and it transfer this information as a whole unit. The problem is, if I want to do that in NPI, okay, I cannot write just grid and send it to master or receive it from master, because NPI data type doesn't know anything about this structure. So I have to decompose first this structure, the Fortran structure, generate an NPI data structure contains this information, and generate, let us call, a new NPI data type and deal with it while sending and receiving information. That's the most difficulty. So because you can, for example, if you want to transfer just the, if you want to transfer just, for example, the predicted data, it's very easy. It's nothing, you can write just the predicted data and send it back because it's a scalar or field. Okay, it's just one vector contains the impedances, for example. And you can send it and receive it. But the problem is receiving and sending the electric solution. Because I've tried to keep it as general as possible. So if I write, for example, in 3D, send and receive the 3D field. So what I'm going to do in 2D, because there is no field. It's a scalar. And it can be represented also as the vector and not a 3D matrix. So that's the problem here. Right now, I managed to send and receive the electric solution. It doesn't matter if it's a scalar, one vector, or a matrix. Sensitivity, we need this electric field. So that's the problem here, actually.
I was just going to say on your other idea of separating out the real and imaginary of the matrix. You know, Lanzos, have you looked at his book?
Yeah, I looked. Well, I know somehow the idea from Lanzos.
Yeah, but Lanzos showed how to do that for complex
matrices.
How to invert complex matrices by separating out the real and imaginary.
And
the
keeping.
Yeah,
but even in the air layers, the main diagonal doesn't change during the inside the period loop. Two nodes, okay, just two workers to achieve. Mm-hmm. So the master will distribute just two periods between these two nodes and waiting the answer.
Yes, yes, I understand.
Okay.
But if you have a lot of processors,
yeah,
and you have four periods,
so
how many you?
So the master will distribute just four periods and stop.
So you will use five processors.
Yeah, in principle, I'm using five. One for the coordinating and four for.
And how big speed up will be if you use this five, four periods, for example, you have and five processors?
Again, the
how much can you speed up your solution?
Well, I tested just with the model now we have, and I tested with 10 processors and 20, or let us say a number of processor equal number of periods.
Okay.
And just with 10, well, it's the half if you use the number of periods, the number of nodes equal number of periods. It's the half.
So if you use 10 processors, the speed up is 2.
Double, yeah.
Okay. Not 10.
Well, it depends on the discretization also, and it depends on many things you have.